As you may know, Washington has a new football team, a new Arena League football team, and as you may or may not know, that team now has a coach as everything's starting to come together for 2017. The first coach of the to-be-named Washington Arena Football League team, Dean Kokinos, joins us. Thanks so much for coming in studio.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
So you're kind of the first piece of the puzzle. You know, you got a team, we've got... You know, we're still waiting on logos and names and colors and all that stuff. What does it feel to kind of, how does it feel to be, you know, coming into a brand new situation, a brand new team, knowing everything kind of starts with you? You're not taking over some old regime. There's no past. You get to sort of forge your own history here in Washington.
Yeah, that's awesome on so many different levels. I think, you know, it's not just a situation. It's a very unique situation. I think for me, you know, the intriguing part when I went through the interview process was Monumental Sports and Entertainment. Everything they do for this community, very involved, right? The passion for the community, sports, and entertainment. So I think the vision of growing this league is very appealing, not only for the market here, but for the Arena Football League. So I'm excited to have the opportunity to build it my way within the organization, you know, what we see is important. You know, family-oriented, community-centered. So I think it's, you know, it's an open book right now, and we have opportunity to do it right. And we in jumping in early, you know, the league's playing right now, right? So getting in early and having the opportunity to use this time wisely to set up is a huge advantage for us to do it right.
What's the first order of business? What's the first thing that you now are tasked with doing?
I think right now it's just what we're doing, getting out, getting in the community and, you know, introducing our brand, you know, and to be named team, hopefully here in this studio. I think the second order for me is getting a personnel staff together, start identifying players that are currently playing in the Arena Football League and other leagues, and then really getting out in the community and finding the best areas for us to set up our facilities. So it'll be attractable for players to play here with housing and practice facility. You know, we play in the Verizon Center, so what a great place to play our home games. But we have to get all the surrounding amenities set up for our guys so it's a first-class environment. We want the best players to play here. And I think the last part of it is going to be putting a coaching staff together and start branding our product going into next March.
Kirk, can I hold you that? Are we going to announce this on the air, WTOP?
I was schooled to say that when I came in.
The stations.
I missed it on the last one.
You said
one,
that
so.
Earlier at the other one.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Is this normal a year out, I guess, as far as starting a new franchise for everything that you mentioned? Is it enough time to do all this that you guys need to do? I mean, I guess what's the normal practice as far as starting an expansion
franchise?
Yeah,
I'll tell you,
this is
smart. The normal practice is to start too late.
Okay.
In September, October. So our group here, very, very smart people. You know, we start early and get it set up. And like, you know, we all know, you have one chance to make a first impression, right? And that's what we're doing. And that phrase of we have time, I hate that phrase, you know, because you never have enough time, right? I know you know that. So, we do have time, but we have to use our time wisely now. So I think that's the goal is to really capitalize on these 4 or 5 months. We're ahead of everybody else for next year because all the other teams are currently playing. They're wrapped up in their season. And what's going on now, you know, we're thinking we're almost a whole calendar year ahead of everybody else. So pretty neat.
We talked earlier just before you came in about – sort of, this is already a football market from an NFL perspective, but you were talking about how it's more important that it's already a hockey and a basketball town and has that sort of infrastructure in place because that's where you guys play. You play in those kinds of arenas. How nice is it to have a place like Verizon Center, which not only is, you know, for what, 14,000? You have the ability to bring in a large arena football crowd, but also it's right in the middle of town. It's right on the metro lines. It's right sort of in this established intersection in the middle of town.
Yeah.
I mean, how much was that a piece of sort of this being an attractive place?
It's a huge part of the attraction. You hit all the high points. It's easy to get to, right? It's, you know, I think it's 17 plus
18. 18. Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's a big arena. So it's a great place for entertainment. Easy to get in metro. I'm learning about the metro, right? How easy it is. I haven't rode it yet. I'm not planning on, but I'm hearing it's great to get in with the Metro.
Once you deal with the traffic, you want to get on the
right. Yeah, I'm hearing that too. So, but no, I think it's all part of the package. You know, we're different. We're different than the outdoor game. This is our own niche. This is our game. So we're branding it as Arena. It's family oriented, fan friendly, where you're not spending 8 hours. Now, you know, you go to NFL games these days, it's a whole day, man. You know, you're out in traffic and parking. Our game is affordable. It's easy to get in. It's entertaining. And, you know, we'll be in Arena. It's a lot going on at Verizon Center, that whole area. So I think it's a different type of deal for us. And it's our product, our brand.
You're new here, but you're not new to Arena Football. You've been doing this since 2005 as a coach for a number of different teams.
2003.
Got to update this
That's
bio.
Kurt. Kurt's Come killing on, me Kurt. In all these interviews, man. He's got all my facts wrong. So
over a decade, but everybody comes from 11-on-11 sort of traditional football, and you were a running back in college.
Right.
How was that transition for you, and how is it, you know, in terms of for fans who are used to seeing, you know, sort of a more traditional style of football? How is that transition? How does it compare?
Well, I think, you know, going through some of the differences, you know, the arena size, the roster size, you know, everything's condensed than the outdoor game. So I think going forward, you know, I think we're trying to brand this as our sport. It's a different sport, a different option. You know, we want to, as we build this product over the years, we want players to say, hey, that's an option for me to go play in the Arena Football League, okay? But the differences are, you know, it's 100-yard field outdoors. We play on 50 yards, and we play in basically the hockey rink. The boards are up. We pad them up. You put some nets down, and you have walls, okay? So it's a short space, you know, and we play with 21 game day roster players. You know, the NFL players with 53 men roster. Okay, and we have eight players on offense versus 8 players in defense. So not a lot of players running around, right? So it's Iron Man football. It's a unique guy, special guy. I think the community is going to identify with that player. You know, it's going to be a lot of fan recognition for, hopefully, you know, regional, local guys. I met the security guy coming in down, and he's telling me how many great football players are from this area, and he's right. There's a lot of good players that come out of here. So, you know, there's a lot going on. It's this is our team now in this region, so we're going to build it up.
As long as you've been involved in the league, I'm curious. It's the transition initially, but obviously you've fallen in love with it. You've succeeded in it. How long did it take for you to kind of get hooked on this league?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think most of us that come in, once you're in, you know, I came in with the Nashville Cats, Tennessee Titans is one of my first big jobs. And, you know, you work in both ends. You're working in NFL and player personnel, and you're coaching Arena Football. And like all of us, you have to make decisions, you know, and I'm a coach, right? So that's what I do. And you get trapped into this game where it's a lot of passion. I was speaking to Doc Walker the other day, and you know, he played in the NFL, and he's covered arena games on air. And, you know, his appreciation is for the players, the passion, the love of the game. And it's, you know, you get with a group of men, and you know, being Greeks, right? We family, right?
Right.
So you
get
passion. So it all ties into what we do on the field, too. So for me, I love it. You know, I'm really excited to be here.
It's interesting you mentioned sort of guys playing Iron Man, guys playing two ways. You never see that outside of maybe a trick play or something in the NFL. I think Miles Jack's the only guy I can think of in D1 last year who throw him in at running back sometimes, but he was primarily a linebacker. I mean, how many guys are playing? Is that a significant percentage of the league? And that's something you don't see above the high school level very often, guys who were playing, you know, on both sides of the ball.
No, that's a great question because that's, you know, as we go, one of the things that our order of business is player personnel. And you have to identify those players. You know, like you said, he may have been a guy coming out of St. John's High School, might have been an all-state defensive back, all-conference defensive back. And he goes to the University of Maryland, and they turn him into a receiver. And he turns into being ACC now?
Big Ten now.
Big Ten. They move around so much, I can't keep up. So Big Ten, right? So he might be an all-Big Ten receiver. And now you got a guy that, you know, doesn't get drafted, sifts through the cracks. Good football player, right? Played all-Big Ten. He was all-conference defensive back. So it's in him. So those are the type of players we'll look for, you know, where they have somewhere in their career they've been productive on offense, in defense, and they'll come in as a primary position, but with the idea that you can develop and as a secondary player, if that makes sense. So that's you want a good blend of your roster of guys who have the ability to play two ways. Not all of them, but you want a good blend.
So timing-wise, you have the draft. Guys don't get drafted, free agents. Timing-wise, how does your roster come together during that time of year?
Another good question. So how to build our roster? So for us, we'll evaluate every single AFL football player playing currently, okay? And there'll be a percentage of those guys come October 1st. They'll be free agents, so we'll already have evaluations on them. So we're going to try to get as many good AFL free agents as we can. And then so us being an expansion team, we'll be in the expansion draft. It's not like we don't have a general draft, but we have an expansion draft. We can draft players within the AFL. They can protect a certain amount on each roster. And then as we pick a player, they can pull guys back. So we'll be part of that. And then for us, though, it's all about going out to these NFL camps, CFL camps, other minor leagues, and evaluating players and all the roster, the training camp cuts, the bubble guys, you know, those are our guys. And it may be a whole calendar year before we get them. It's a process, you know, they'll go through a cycle or a circuit. And then the last thing, the most fun thing, hopefully you guys want to come out and be part of this, is open tryout. All right. And we'll open it up to everybody in this area and the DMV to come out to our Verizon Center. Our first one will be in the fall.
I will not be trying out.
Come on, man. Let's go. We talked about that when I came in.
I don't need to blow a hammy here or anything. I'm all right.
But yeah, we'll do the open tryouts. Now, I know a lot of good players slipped through the cracks. Maybe we were in an NFL camp 2 years ago or played a couple of games and they want to play again. So, you know, we'll open it up. And we always grab guys out of those open tryouts that end up making our roster. So it's a lot of fun.
That's what I was going to ask, the percentage of guys that you actually find during that. Probably.
So we brought in 500. I anticipate a big number at our first tryout. Okay, let's say 500. Okay, out of those, we'll probably grab 10 players.
Wow.
Invite them. You know, we won't sign them all, right, but we'll invite probably at least 10 of those guys back. And my guess, probably 2 or 3 will make our roster.
And we just had the NFL draft a couple weeks ago.
Right.
Now that that's moved up to April, does that impact you guys in terms of, you go through the draft, you have the guys you get signed after the draft, and then there's everybody else who's still sitting around. I mean, right, those last-second options where, you know, teams are going out and trying to get those guys to play right away.
Yeah, the bottom percentage of those guys. So you go through the draft, and you wait, you know, all these guys waiting. You see it on the TV, right, ESPN, and they're waiting, the phone doesn't ring. So those guys become priority A, B, and C free agents. And there's another whole group of guys that were expecting calls or did get a call on the draft day, but it didn't happen. So they all wait through, they're going through OTAs. I think this past weekend, they just had OTAs in the NFL. And all them guys trying to get in a training camp, there's a small percentage of them are going to get in, and the rest of those guys are on the street. So they've always been tagged as NFL-level players, not quite good enough. They're going to go in our database. And then when we get to the camp, all those guys getting bounced out off the 93-man down to the 53, that's 40, you know, approximately 40 players per team. They're all going in our database.
So your scouts are doing the same thing that, you know, NFL teams are doing. They're scouting all year. I mean, they're scouting all year round.
All year round. Yeah. And they're scouting our rosters. Yeah. And that's how it works. You know, that's it's all about finding players who are active, right? If you're on somebody's roster, you're active.
No, I think this is really fascinating.
Yes.
I'm a baseball guy, and so I come from this sort of, there's so many baseball players and many different levels and down to the independent leagues. But I mean, that's got to be a huge like market advantage if you can have good scouts who can go find guys who have, you know, fallen through. I mean, how many guys do you have who are out there? Like, I mean, do you already have scouts out there right now?
No, that's our, you know, as far as hiring a staff, our personnel staff is going to be our first group of guys.
How many guys outfits that staff?
We won't, you know, it's not like the NFL, so it'll be a short stay. It'll probably be 3 or 4 guys tops, including myself. So I'll overlook it all, but we've all have connections. We've all worked at, like, you know, it's radio, baseball, and it's your network. Okay. So it's, you know, in today's world, it's so easy to get information or easier. Okay. And it's just evaluating that guy that fits this league, that unique guy. Okay. And a lot of it's going out in person and watching them play, whether it's in the Arena League or an NFL camp or CFL camp. And usually the college guys, you know, they have to go through, we're not really big on, you know, non-pro players coming up, but it happens. So they'll go through the cycle of the circuit and try to, you know, get some pro experience. So it's a big process, and it's a lot of names. It's a lot of names to get to 35 men in March 1st and then get to 21. So it's going to be a lot going on.
That is fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's you know, especially from the beginning, it's cool to see kind of inside the process.
Yeah.
And I think around here too, I'm just curious, because we talked about the football town, this is going to be something new for everybody around here. I know you've been here a short time, but the reception, kind of that you've seen around town, and the from when you've gone out and do these kind of things mm-hmm. and with the new franchise coming? What's the reception been like?
Positive.
Great.
Yeah, awesome, man. A lot of energy. I'll tell you, you know, I've been saying this passion in this city for sports is, you know, it's until you're here, you don't really understand it. And not just sports, but football. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of passion for this game, you know, pro football. So, I think our community is going to grasp this real fast. I think it's perfect city or perfect market in general for this game.
I think you're 100% right about the arena, the fan family friendly, and that's just a whole different kind of crowd that you're going to expect, that you're going to reach out to. You have the football fans too, but sure. It's also an event.
It's family oriented. Right. It's family entertainment. I think that's key. It's a different deal, man. You know, it's like I said, it's affordable. Arena and easy in, easy out. It's not stressful on the parents and the kids. The other thing is, you know, I've been here a week. Monumental Sports, they're big on creating lifetime memories, you know, and I think that's great. I love it. You know, where you get these young kids coming in and they get a ball, you know, and at the end of the game, they come down the quarterback, threw the ball, they'll sign it, take a picture. Doesn't matter what the name on the back of his jersey is. He might have been a kid coming out of one of these high schools or played college here, his name is recognizable in the DMV, right? And that's a memory for that kid, mm-hmm. you know. I'll tell you a quick story. So we had a camp. So I had a team in the Viper team won the championship. When we left Nashville, we went started a team there, and we won our first year, won a championship. And then next year, you know, we were favored to win a championship, and you know, we were dominant all year. We lost on the last second play. Third year, same thing. We're the Green Bay of little town in Huntsville, Alabama. Everybody knows us. We're the lead story. Four media networks. They're out of every practice. We're on the front page back when they had newspapers. We're in the front. So. All right, so D1 Sports, Peyton Manning's big owner in it. It's a training facility for sports, athletes and all that. So, and they always brand it with it. They have a face, in that area it was Philip Rivers, quarterback for the San Diego Chargers, and they always have the big name guys, right? So Will Bartholomew, who was a teammate of Peyton at the University of Tennessee, he lives in Nashville with me, and he started the first one there. So we were always close. He said Philip wants to run a quarterback camp down, that's his hometown, Athens, Alabama. Mm-hmm. Would you bring your guys down to help him out? So, you know, our guys came down. I had a quarterback playing for me 2 years on the Buffalo Bills practice squad, 3 years in the CFL as a backup. Never played pro, you know, never played a down. Was a great arena player. You know, he's 3 years, won us a championship, three straight playoff appearances. So we go to the camp. We do the camp, and our guys were in their game jerseys. So when it came for the autographs, guess who they all went to? My quarterback, that's who they recognize. So that's my point is we create lifetime memories. It's they're going to recognize the local guy, the guy they see playing here. It's real to them. They can talk to them. They can touch them. So that's kind of, you know, one of the things we want to develop here is players who are recognized by our community.
So this was this wasn't a tough decision for you.
No, man, it's great. It's awesome. Yeah. I love it here.
So you talked about the names on the backs of the jerseys. You guys still need a name on the front of the jerseys.
Yeah.
Are you already in Ted's ear about this, or are you trying to lobby?
Hey, I'm
for
just
anything?
A soldier in the group now, man. I'm following orders. But I'll tell you what, like I said, we want to do that announcement here, right, Kurt?
Right, Kurt. Right, Kurt. Right. Yes.
That'll be our next big announcement. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm sure it'll be something that really pulls the community together. So. It'll be interesting to see what it is.
Well, we're looking forward to it, and hopefully we'll look forward to having you back on, and looking forward to another sport in D.C. and a chance to get out and cover some arena football. I've not been to a live game. I've seen
them on
TV.
I've never been to a live game either.
You mentioned you watched it.
Yeah.
And you said, what was that,
kid,
right?
Yeah,
I got it. Wait till you come to the game, and you're going to say, wow, that was awesome. It's a big difference being there.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to it. Thanks again to Dean Kokinos, the first head coach of the brand new Washington Arena Football League team, as yet to be named.
No pressure, but this city needs championships.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Oh yeah, right. Yeah, right. No, I know. I'm right there with you, man.
Well, thanks again for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Right. A lot of fun.